Hi, I'm Sarah, I'm an addict.
Hi, Sarah.
Just want to get that comfortable so I'm not sitting here self-obsessed, kind of like, oh, it's not right. Oh, I feel like I need to do some mad yoga chant. You know, like, just get it all out. You can all join in if you want, though. But that's what I feel like. Oh, my belly's going over. I've got butterflies. I'm, like, twitchy. I'm a bit nervous. I'm anxious. But it will all be all right. That's the bottom line. And I've learned that here. It was lovely to hear your chair, Rich. And, yeah, well done, really. It's very touching. And, you know, whenever I hear... It was good that you were sharing first, to be honest, because it kind of was grounding me. And it just always reminds me of why I'm here, you know? And that's what we do, don't we, you know? So, I'll probably flit about because I'm that kind of person, you know? It's just, that's how I am. I've learned to accept that about myself, which is just how I am. I used to look at it as that I'm not right, there's something wrong with me, why am I like that? But actually, in recovery, I've learned to kind of grab all the different parts of me and kind of like put them together in a jigsaw. And then when one does go off on a tangent, which it does, it's all right. And, you know, I've met all the other bonkers friends in NA and they're just as bad or as good as me. You know, we've all got that little kind of zany thing going on, which I love, actually. And that when I meet people and I'm like, wow, what's that? You know, because they're all like, they've got something, haven't they? You know what I mean? And you just think, wow, I find it really interesting, is what I'm saying. People in NA and the journey and kind of like seeing people when they start out and the changes, you know, and kind of like the miracles that happen here, you know? And there are miracles, you know, and I'm one. And yeah, it is a miracle what happens in NA. So I... obviously got to be honest. That's a good start. My sponsor's not here tonight. Usually I look at her because I'm like, she's there. I've got to be honest because she's right there. She's usually in the front row. And then she was like, I texted her. She was like, why didn't you tell me you was doing the chair? And I was like, oh, well, I got like last minute thing. And, you know, I just walked up and that's what we do, isn't it? She was like, oh, I would have been there. And, you know, and I love that. You know, sometimes I forget all that. I forget that people care and they love and they want to be included. As my friend here is like, what? You're doing the chair? Why didn't you tell me? You know, it's that love and support that we get in NA that I've never actually got anywhere, ever. You know, I do look at NA as like my family, really. And I'm going to try not to get emotional, but it will come out at some point. And when it does, it's all right. You know, I've learned it's okay to cry and get vulnerable, really. And it's right there. So, my heart is actually hurting at the moment. And I feel really aware of that. And I've been to a meeting today, and yeah, so something, you know, I don't want to go right into it. I've got my circle of trust, and that's where I go with things. But I'm still processing it myself, you know, like, and when I process sometimes, actually what I do is lay in bed like a vegetable. That's the best I can do. You know, I'm just like that. And everything's going on all around, but I am actually processing, and that's okay, you know. And then I kind of get up and I do what I need to do and start, and suddenly things feel easier, you know. So I do sometimes know how to look after myself, and that might just be, you know what, have a nice bath, like eat some good food, chill out, have a little nap, whatever that might be, you know. I've learned to do that stuff in recovery and kind of like self-soothe is what I've learned to do. And, you know, because this journey, there's a lot in my journey. And so the biggest thing that I've learned to do, and it's taken a while, is to rescue myself, you know, and reparent myself in NA. Having said that, I didn't know how to do any of that stuff when I came here. And then I was given that and shown that love, and people reached out to me. And you never know them snippets that you're getting with a person in recovery. You just don't. like at the time you just, you take them in and it's what you need, and but then suddenly then people might not be here anymore. You know what I mean? And you're like, fuck. And then you really realise the enormity of what they've done for you. But at the time, it's just what we do, isn't it? It's all about love. People used to say to me, it's all about love. I was like, fuck, what are you talking about? It's all about love. And I've learned that it is all about love. And I, you know, I didn't trust anyone. I couldn't get close to anyone. Yeah, I was just really lost when I came in. My sponsor's like 30 years clean. And spiritually and lovingly, and the work I've done with her in the process of the green and gold is, well, it's just life-changing what she's given me. She's given me her time, her wisdom, her love, and the spiritual guide. I didn't have no concept of spirituality. Actually, the nearest I've ever got to being spiritual was being fucking off my head. You know, and you're like, whoa, this is like heaven. This is probably what heaven's like, you know. This is it. Woo! You know, that kind of mad, being in a rave in the middle of nowhere, all the fog and the mist, and I'm dancing. I'm just like, this is it. This is it. This, it don't get no better than this, you know. And that was, you know, my raving and, like, ecstasy. You know, that was kind of like coming in, it's like I was coming into that kind of era, you know. So I was young and I went to the Camden Palais and, like, people were dancing in trainers. I was like, what? And tracksuit bottoms and everyone was going, ease. I was like, what the fuck, what? Like, everywhere you went, I was like, ooh, so what is that? You know, it's like kind of creepy but intriguing. Anyway, so I had this, like, quarter back in the day. You only had to have a little bit. Gone. Loved everybody. In love. This is it. Found it. And I spent a lot of years like that. You know, like, we got a bag of them. We just got a bag. Like, I think it was 100, right? And we'd never done them, nothing. Well, we've done the lot, haven't we? I've woke up. Well, not even woke up. I've got me hair. You know this, what's in the cigarette package? You know, the silver and the gold? I've done that in my hair, right? I thought, well, look great. We've gone down the supermarket. I had a big coat on, like, getting fags, getting more supplies. You know, it was a mission. Who's going to go on the mission, you know, to get the supplies? You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I'm up for it this time. You have to really work it, don't you? For the one who's going to leave. You know what I mean? They're the one. They're the fucking hero, aren't they, to go out and do that. And just, yeah, that's a bit of my using there, but, you know, it was great. I'm not going to lie. Taking drugs for me was, I was like, this is it. I found what life is about, because I'd always felt awkward. I'd had no idea what self-obsession was. My sponsor come over to me in a meeting, kindly gave that one to me. Like, she was like, you're self-obsessed. I was like, I'd had that since I was a kid. Have no idea what it was. Even when I was sitting here and you were sharing, I could feel it coming up. You know what I mean? I was, ooh. And I get that sometimes when I share, still in meetings. I get red, I go embarrassed, I feel really cringy. And I think that will always be in me. I don't ever think that's ever going to get knocked out, you know. And that's okay, you know. So, yeah, where was I? Yeah, in a field. Wow. No, actually, I ended up having this, like, Joseph coat on, right? And my boyfriend was the one selling the ease bar there, because that was it. We just let's do this. This is life, isn't it? And he was shoving all the money in my coat, right? I've got loads of it. I'm chockered up to the eyeballs, off me tits. Anyway, when we've got back and we're at the thing, we were all like, oh, yeah, what about the money? We didn't even think about the money. What about the money? I'm grabbing it. He's going, look at that, babe. I'm like, yeah, look. Loads of this dosh. Put it all in the middle, you know. And, you know, one of our friends, like, so, you know, he was tripping, right? Little Paul, his name was. I've never seen him again, but he was, like, so I'm dancing. I love dancing. Love it. So I was dancing, you know, and he's sitting there. And I goes, Paul, come on, let's dance. And he went like this. I can't even do it. Cause I'm gonna... He went, I'm an orange. He went, his word of a lie, went, and oranges don't dance. He did actually end up weeing himself in the chair because he could not get up. You know what I mean? All that mad shit. So some of it's zany and out there, but it's my experience and it was my life. So fast forward that kind of like, as a kid, I was stealing and lying way, way before. I come from a really poor background. You don't have to feel sorry for me. I've done the work. But, you know, there was nothing. I'm all right. There was nothing. You know, like, my mum was... I had three kids on her own. I was the eldest, and my dad was in and out of prison, and he was really violent. So when he used to be there, I just used to look at him like this shiny thing that was coming up the path in his Mac, and I would just be like drawn to him, you know what I mean? And then he'd go again, and I'd be in that loss, and I'd be in that abandonment, and like waiting for whenever he was going to come out again, and like you know. But what that was already doing was that learnt behaviour. So I ended up kind of like very early on getting into drugs and actually going out with men that sold drugs. I got sucked into that world really quickly. And actually that was my journey, was that guy had money and drugs, and then, oh, actually he's got more money and he's got more drugs. Oh, I'll just nip over there. Not consciously, it wasn't conscious, it was just... It just happened like that, you know what I mean? And my journey went like that. There was always a guy and they was in control and we took loads of drugs, you know, and that's how it went. Obviously, the using and the progression of the illness, you know, I was starting to have rock bottoms, basically. And crack is actually my drug of choice, you know? And so my journey into that was, people were like taking the ease, and then someone started washing up coke, and it was like just changed the buzz completely, like the energy, gone. So that lot were all paranoid, fucking in the kitchen smoking crack, and that lot in the front room in that kind of, hey, do you want my watch? Yeah, man, I love you. Yeah, you know, it's all that. But it divided it, and you started seeing the nastiness in with the crack and the coke. And then I would be that person. They'd go on a mission, go and get more. I'd get all the paraphernalia ready. I'd get all the smoke in the ashtray, get it all ready. Da-da-da. Make sure, oh, yeah, thinking you look $1 million. Hello. And I look fucking great. Yes. Deluded. But I was younger then. You can get away with it. You get it for free. When you get older and you're still doing it, you're like, oh, you can't put the face on no more, can you? The fucking makeup sliding down. You like that? That's all like, you're proper twisted and, yeah, what? You can't even talk. Yeah. You know, literally need a speech therapist to actually talk. That is where I got. And I was paying money to get like that, you know. Shocking. So the journey, though, I mean, it is funny and I can laugh about it, but the progression and the just the fucking illness. I had no idea I was an addict. I didn't even know what an addict was. I had no concept of an addict. Probably I thought maybe someone that used heroin, you know, they might have a problem. You know, that's it. That's my concept. I didn't even know what an addict was. So anyway, kind of like cut to. So my biggest thing was to get to London. That was the biggest plan I ever come up with. Get to London, everything's going to be all right. But of course, I got to London, and I was a croupier in casinos. So I used to work in casinos, come home, sniff coke. We'd all be on the crack pipe, you know, and so on and so forth. And that's how it went. But just the kind of deterioration mentally, and like I was getting jaded, and I couldn't do the normal things, like go in the staff room and actually get a coffee or something like that. I'd just be like really introvert, just really struggling, and you know, like it was painful, but I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the kind of like the come downs and stuff like that. And And me, I'm a binger, so I will go and go and go till I physically cannot go anymore. Everything's gone, and I'm literally look like something out of a mental ward. And it's not a joke, that is what I look like. I'm proper, proper in psychosis. That is where I go. I'm hearing voices. I'm scaring myself when I'm lighting the fag because I'm like, you know, I'm shaking. When I'm nervous, I shake still. But I couldn't even get the fag to my mouth without it being like that. And anyway, jumped through the men and the using. And I ended up in Spain, was out there. And I had my first rock bottom. So I've been on like 3 days with my partner and this other couple. And we've been smoking the pipe. And I literally went over. I just flopped over, like gone. And I didn't, I swear to God, I didn't even know if I was going to, I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't talk, I couldn't breathe. Everyone was fucking freaking out. And then I was like, where's my son? Where, you know, just, it was awful. And I knew I needed help. And that was my first rock bottom. But you know, like the truth of it is, the best thinking that I could come up with at the time, and I said this to my son's dad, I was like, I'm never smoking that shit again, ever. I'll just sniff it. I mean, like that, like, you know, like I used to, this side of my body would literally come in, and that's what I did, you know? And they really scared me. And I actually went to my first, you know, meeting actually was in Spain. It was down in Port Benús, and I cried all the way through it. And I didn't get it. I didn't get the message. Cut to, come back to London, gone straight back to what I've done, kind of like, always worked in the casinos. I got a job in Mayfair. I was like, that's it. I'm going to sort my life out. Everything's going to be all right. I left him in Spain. I dear-johned him. Awkward, but I did. And also, it was really painful. Like, he'd got violent. He was staying out. He was obviously acting out with loads of women. You know, all that stuff. And it was like, and I just decided, like, I've got to go. And it got quite scary. You know, I've been, I don't mean it in a thing way, but I've always gone out with criminals. Like, that's where I've always gone. I know how they live. I know how they talk. I know how they think. I know the whole, I've lived it. I've been there. And it was time to go. Things were getting very, very dark. And he was bringing a lot of bad things to the door, just put it that way. So I upped and went and then came back. And I didn't get it then. You know, my kind of... I didn't know anybody in NA. I didn't know anybody. I ended up, I'm conscious of the time because I don't want to talk loads about my using, but whatever comes out, comes out. But, so I ended up in Hertfordshire in a massive drum. I met this guy in the pub, as you do. He was the villain of the thing. And he come over, and on the side, he's just chopping up gear. He's gone, da, da, da. We've all gone back to his house. This big thing, there's horses, fucking a swimming pool. I'm like, have a look at this. It's like something out of Dallas, all right? It was, I'm kid you not. I'm chatting away, you know, you don't stop jarring, do you, all night. And he goes, do you want to move in? I was like, you fucking kidding me? And I moved in and I stayed there for 3 years. Yeah. And my son was with me then. And it, like, it's thing, but there's the other side. Like, he was a lot older than me, right? He was like Pretty Woman, but he was a lot older. You know, like, it was that, but he was like a bit too old. But you're like, oh, but you just take more gear, don't you? You know what I mean? You just deal with it, girls. We all know. And, yeah, so anyway, I'm there, and it got really bad. And he used to go to me, oh, you're not well. You are not well. You've got a problem. And I'd be like, ah. No, I laugh about it now, but it would. And anyway, he said, we're going Vegas, right? Fucking let's go. Vegas, here we come. Never been there. Gone out there. So got the gear, da-da-da-da-da. They've all given it to Jimmy because... like, we've all been sniffing all night. It's enough now, isn't it? It's time to go to bed. Right, that one. They've all dropped the sleepers, but he's given me one. Did I take it? No. Slip that one down there. And what I actually, he hid it. Now he's like that, proper snoring. I'm crawling along the carpet. Every time I'm like, oh! Because you know when you're praying, and I was like, oh! I've got it, I'm getting it down, back in the bathroom. Yeah. Back, put it back. I did that till I sniffed the entire fucking lot. I kid you not. And then it hit, I was like, what have I done? Oh my God, he's going to kill me. And I thought, I'll just jump out that window. That might be good. The only thing that stopped me was my son. Well, he's woke up, isn't he? I'm like this in the chair, because I'm waiting for it. I've got nowhere to go. I've run out of fags. I've done everything. The whole lot, I've gone. I'm like that. Trying to breathe. It's all right. Be all right. He's woke up. He's took one fucking look at me. He's gone. What the fuck have you... Sorry about swearing. What have you... And I was just... I'm not well. I was going... I'm really not well. He's gone ballistic. Ballistic. He has hit... And he's not the type of person that... Not he would hit me. He's kind of old school. But I had the biggest telling off. And I've had some telling offs in my time. He gave me the biggest one I've ever had. Ever, ever. I was like that small. You know when you're just like, oh, please stop now. I was like, I'm possessed. I was saying anything just to like make him feel sorry for me. And he went, you have got a problem. Like, and I knew I did have a problem. And I wrote, it's mad. He fucked off. He had the right ump. He's gone out. I'm like sat there all in shame and guilt. Oh, and I had no fangs. And then... I started writing to myself. I started writing, like literally going, I don't know where it come from. Like it was mad. It was channeling this stuff, like doing step work. And I was writing and I was like, you've got to sort it, you've got to. It was just coming out of it. And I took it, I took that back on the plane with me and I kept that for a long time in recovery. And it was like, oh, I don't know who the hell was channeling that or what was happening to me, but I had something happen that in that, hotel. Sounds really glamorous. It was in that set, but it was really painful and it was awful. And I had that and I came back and I was like, I need to sort this out. I'm not right. So I got on the phone, he nipped out, and anyway, I've rang up the Samaritans because I didn't know what else to do. And I said, I'm really not well. And she said, do you think you might have a drug problem? I thought, cheeky cow. You know, like, seriously, sort yourself out, love. Fucking answering phones to people like me. Really, get a job, get a life. Anyway, that's how it's the ignorance and it's the denial. So anyway, she said, she gave me this number. I don't know, I spoke to loads of people, ended up speaking to this woman. She's doing 12 steps. She 12 stepped me on the phone. So she said, come to the meeting, blah, 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 blah. And she speaks like she's on Valium. Like, she's so proper like that. I was like, ooh. And I met her, and I actually did think for the quite a bit of my recovery, what is she on? What is that? Because it looks good. I actually want... Because I'm a really upper. I'm one of them. You can imagine me using it. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, ooh, yeah. It's like the programme and... And she was something about her that was just so enticing, but lovely. And she said to me, you've got to get a sponsor and da-da-da-da-da. And I just put it on her. Like, I put it on her. And I actually thought, if she says no, I'm never coming back. I'm never coming back. And I've learned that I've met people along the way that have asked me to sponsor them. And I've never gone, like, I know, like, as you get more clean time, you get quite a lot and it's hard. And you think, oh, God, not another one. You know what I mean? Because you've got a lot in your life. No, in the best way. You just, I can't take on any more people. But she said yes. So I did go back. And she's been my sponsor ever since. And, you know... We did the steps and I had to leave Jimmy. Like, she helped me leave Jimmy. You've got to put him down. I was like, really? I had to give the car back, the watch, the fucking diamonds. All had to go. So don't tell me I don't want this program, all right? You know what I mean? Honestly, I come from nothing. Let me tell you, nothing. So to go in that world, it felt like, oh, look at this. This is it. I'm with the people that have got this and that. But it wasn't, you know what I mean? It was all his money, it was all his control. So I came in to NA, and I remember the first meeting, and everyone's sitting in a circle, and they're all talking. I did actually, for the first time in my entire life, go, oh, I'm an addict. I got it. Like, that dropped. I mean, we really are sharp people, do you know what I mean? We are, aren't we? We're not stupid addicts. We're on it, you know, whatever it is. We're not stupid. And I went, oh, that's what it is. I'm an addict. And there was this, because even as a little girl, I used to think, you're not right. You ain't right. You know what I mean? I did. I honestly had those alarm bells going off in my life loads of times thinking, oh, there's something really wrong with me. I'm going to end up, my biggest fear was like, I'm going to end up in a mental home. That's what I genuinely thought. So she took me through the steps and, you know, like, and she's amazing. She knows this stuff inside and out. Let me tell you, she's just great. And she's passed that on to me, and that trust and that love and that warmth. And, you know, and she's taught me how to be a sponsor, basically. She's taught me how to love women, love myself, be there for them, guide them. And I've met loads of other amazing women along the way, you know, in recovery, you know. And if I speak about them, I'll probably get emotional because, like, Mary P's not here anymore. And she was, like, massive for me. She was massive in my recovery, you know. Like, I'd gone through the green and gold, but I was in the sex and love addiction. I was in that. It was absolutely, like, proper hurting me. I was in the relationship stuff, and it was mental. It was absolutely mental. And I was like, and I remember seeing Mary at a meeting, and she was like, listen, this is what I've done, this is what you, and I needed to do the work around that stuff. I needed to unhook from it. So if women wasn't sharing what they've done, do you know, and it was the NA steps that got me to that. And then I came back to do the NA steps again. But then I've been able to pass on that wisdom, because I see women and they go, I can't believe you was like me. I'll go, oh yes, I was. Mm-hmm. They can't get it. They just can't. They're like, no. I'm like, literally. And I give them a snippet of what I was like and they're like, wow. So that's what I'm kind of saying, that experience, that love, that strength, that warmth that we, you know, and people believed in me. You know, they really did. They loved me. They, like, I've been on my own since I was 16. So I was in foster care. Like, you know, it was quite dark, my child. I've done all the work. It does not. I don't get me wrong. I get spun out and stuff still happens. I've got trauma. I get disassociated. But, you know, I know what to do when I'm in it. And it comes in a wave. I don't know when it's going to come. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Do you know what I mean? When I'm in it, it's there. And I'm... But because I've done the work, my past doesn't have that power over me. I'm not locked into it anymore. I'm not scared of it. I'm not like acting out in my first 5 years of recovery. For me, a lot of it, I was acting out stuff that I hadn't healed yet, even in recovery. That's what I was doing. I had no clue what that was. And then eventually, you know, for me, it has to be so painful that I go, oh, all right, I'll do it. You know, like I surrender basically. And I do that work. You know, and as a result of that, I've got like really amazingly genuine good friends in my life that I absolutely adore. I do. And you know, like one, she bought me a hairbrush. Like she didn't know, but like I was like, she fucking bought me a hairbrush. Why'd she buy me? Like, because she knows I'm like, it's silly. It's the small things. Like, but she got me that, and I was just like, she got me an airbrush. It's like, it was beautiful because she knew I wanted the airbrush. But I didn't say to her, I want the airbrush. Do you get what I mean? It's like, it's stuff like that. It's the small stuff. It's the really, really kind of like, the acts of kindness. And I was at the Birmingham Convention at the weekend, and this guy was doing his chair. I got spun out. I lost my car keys. The lovely Anthony found them. Brilliant. Yes! But I actually was flitting about. Like, I was gone. And actually, when I get that cortisone, that kind of adrenaline, like, it's horrible, but actually, it sounds awful, but parts of my body start to swell up, right? It's scary. I've had, like, my toe, my finger, my tongue, my jaw, like... anyway, so I'm on these really strong antihistamines. When it happens, I have to take them, right? But I don't take them all the time, and it doesn't happen all the time. It happens when I'm stressed. So I'm at the thing, and I'm like that. Oh, my God. My finger's exploding. It's growing. Other people will understand this stuff. It's like, it, shit happens in recovery. But what happened was, it made me stop. I went in the meeting and I thought, oh, right, I got you. You want me to be here. So I just sat down and I was like, wanting to do my yoga chant, but I didn't. But basically, he was sharing about miracles. He was sharing about miracles and it really got me. And just like, even like people that have done things for him, that he's never seen those people ever again in his recovery or in his life. And it made me think of a time. I know how to live on a fiver. Like, I know how to do the dinner for the kids, get the milk, sausages. They're like, have we got sausages again? I'm like, yes, and mash, with gravy and onions tonight. I'm talking like, there's been times I've been really, really poor in recovery. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know, oh, you know, I'm really skinny. Whereas now, if anything like going on, I've got all bases covered. People just say to me, you're right. They know, they can see it in me. And I was like, literally, I had no money and I was panicking and I thought, I want to pick my son up from school and I put this denim jacket on that I've put on loads and loads of times and I've gone like that and literally there was a fiver there, right? I know it's only a fiver, but that to me, I was like, I looked up, I was like, thank you. And I've had loads of those experiences and yes, I bought sausages again. But you know what? It's all right. You know, and I've got two beautiful sons. You know, I got a council place in recovery. You know what I mean? It's like a gift. It was just a gift. It's like, there you go, have that. You know, and my sons, like, are my life. Like, literally, I've got a younger son that I had in recovery. I haven't got time to go into that. However, what's the point I was going to... Yeah, so I put them first. Like, I used to put men always before my eldest son. I'd be out for days, like, we'd just pay a babysitter. It's awful, I know, just, like, you know. But now, I'm there. I like to be at home. I like to cook the dinner. You know, I like to be there when they come in and he chucks his bag down and he's had a stressful day. And that's going to lead me to the point of where I was at the beginning. It's like, you know, a lot of stuff this year has gone on with my teenage son. And straight away I was projecting, because at 13 I went off the route. That's when it started. I smoked my first fag at 9, I was drinking, I was like, really, if I think about my son doing it, I'm like mortified, I'm like, but that's where I was, and so basically he got jumped by 8 boys, right, at this school, and I won't get it. It was traumatic and it was awful, and as a result, you know, I didn't take him out straight away. But eventually now he's at a new school. And like literally just days ago, I'm still processing it. Like I found something out. The school phoned me, da 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 da. Something's happened with George. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like this, like certain things can make me go right down the middle and I just come undone. I'm like, there is certain things and around my kids, it just... There you go. It just comes in and it just pull. And I'm already reeling from the trauma of what happened to him and he's all right and he's got food. And now this other thing's happened and it's something to do with social media. It's not very nice, right? It's not nice at all. And, so I've been quite emotional and what I was driving to the school, and because she said to me, she's got good training. She said, put your guard up. This is going to hurt. So I'm thinking, well, and she goes, we've pulled George in the office, we've done good cop, bad cop, and this is what's come out of it. And I, like, you know when something takes you somewhere, you just don't expect. I'm like, are you joking me? She's like, no. And I was driving to the school, and just like a picture from my subconscious come all the way. It was so clear, it was set out, and it was a big line of gear, and it was just set out like that, and it was like, that right now would be good, because maybe if I was out of my head, it wouldn't feel so bad with what's actually going on. Like, that's that, and I'm like 10 years clean. And that just come like, poof, like so strong and so powerful. And the reading today is about instant gratification, you know, and it's like, that would just fucking fix it, how I'm feeling. But of course, you know, I hit my knees this morning. I'm not going to use, you know, I'm like so far removed from it. But it did rock me, because it weren't like I went, oh, my recovery. That picture, it would look like, oh, I'm going to get home and that's there and I'm just going to use. That's what it felt like. And it's cunning and it's baffling and it's powerful. And it's just like, yeah. And I'll be honest, you know, I've picked up the fags. Because I had to have something just to go, you know what I mean? And it's like, I haven't smoked in years. As consequences of smoking crack at 18, and I'm talking, you know, we used to just, you know what it's like, you just bolt up, don't you, for days. You just bolt up and you've got everything there. And, you know, I've got holes in the lingula, and I've got holes in the other two parts of my lungs as a result of, you know, they said it's like, basically, you just, it's like glass going through the lungs. And then recently, these, like, you get clean and the stuff shows up. Do you know what I mean? So if I get a chest infection, I'm laid up. It's not a joke. I'm like, Ros knows. I'm just laid up. And now I'm picking up the fags. It will like this week. Now I'm not going to plan on smoking for, but do you know what I mean? And then I've got this I've been in a lot of pain. I don't do painkillers. I've seen many people go over, you know what I mean? My sponsor's like, you just got to get to the acceptance that you've got to live with pain. I've been diagnosed with chronic arthritis in this major joint here. And, you know, you get it from cocaine, excessive cocaine use. Well, my jaw used to be round there. Like, I used to be like that. Oh, can you think, come back round here? Hello? You know, and it's like, it's the consequences of my using, and it's all coming out, and it's all catching up with me. And, but luckily, I know, luckily enough, there's people in recovery that have these illnesses and develop these things, and, you know, we all support and love each other. But, you know, I'm really grateful for recovery. I do feel like I've been given a second chance. I do feel that I've been chucked a curveball, basically. That's what's happened. I've been chucked a curveball, and, you know, it will be all right. My son, he's gone back to school today. I've rang him. He's a really strong kid, but a little bit too strong sometimes. He can put it up like that. And I'm like, whoa, because I didn't even know this stuff was going on, like literally right under my nose, basically. And I said, I think you need counselling. He went, Mum, I don't need counselling. But, however, he's around recovery a lot. He comes to all the conventions with me. I'm going to Zurich European Convention at the end of this month. And do you know, like, it's mad, isn't it, how it works, right? So I'm in all my stuff, like, traumatised, like my son, da-da-da-da-da, and I get a message on my phone, and this guy I know in Zurich, he's like, he's left me a message, he's like, do you want to do the countdown clean time at the European Convention? I was like, wow. And then you text me, do the chair. I was like, you know, sometimes in recovery, I know I'm always being loved and I'm always being held, right, from that higher power. I know it's there. I've experienced things that I can't ever explain, and it's no point even, because you all know, you've all had them, like, touches of whatever it is, this kind of, like, grace of something. And then they shared, he said, oh, do you want to do the count? And I was like, wow, how mad's that? And that's what I'm trying to say. The program always kicks in, like the recovery, the love, the support. It just comes in at me. Like, so I've had that curveball, and then I've just been chucked some recovery ones as well. And it's like, wow, it's amazing. And so, yeah, my biggest thing I do, I'm not going to go in like, oh, I go to region and I go and... It's not my bag. Maybe in 5 years' time, when I'm a little bit like my sponsor and she's so mellow. No, I'm joking. But, you know, she handles it. But, no, what it is because I've got the kids, mainly my biggest is sponsorship. Am I done? Yeah. So, it's sponsorship, basically. And that I do a lot. I've sponsored a lot of women, and I still sponsor a lot of women. And like hearing their joys and their miracles, and, you know, and they trust me. Like, they absolutely trust me. And I think that's what, with my sponsor, like, I just trust her. There's nothing she doesn't know about me. It's all been in the step work. So I just finished my step 10, which I've got to meet up with her and do. And, you know, like, really, whatever happens, a day at a time, we're doing all right. And the way I feel about life is, and what I'm starting to really understand is, you've only got the present moment. You've only got right now, right here, and everything else is a blessing. Every day is a blessing. Some people don't wake up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, when you really put things into perspective and stop, like, getting so, oh, well, I haven't got this, and I haven't got that, and who cares? Like, at the end of the day, I'm clean, I'm grateful, I'm willing, and that's about really all you need, I think, to show up in this place. You know what I mean? You meet all the other mad, bonkers people. But I love them. I love NA. You know, NA has saved my life. Everything that I have, everything that I am, and there's so much more I could have shared, but it, whatever comes out, but is really, I'm a product of NA, because I didn't know anybody when I come in. And they used to say, oh, keep coming back, keep coming back. And I used to, they used to go, you'll get it. And I used to think, get what? What are you fucking talking? Get what? I literally didn't understand. Like, I thought, you take it, like, keep coming back. But you know what? I did, and I did, and I did. And then one day, psh, I got it, and the penny dropped. And there you go. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. So in NA we celebrate clean time with keeping claps and hugs, and for that I'd like to hand it back to tonight's speakers.
Oh yeah, of course. I do know what I'm